turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We've been dealing a little bit with this out in the back room on Wednesday nights, but going to look at it a little different tonight, probably just take off from there and go somewhere else. But Ephesians chapter 1, and we're just singing, "He took my sins away." And there's a lot of confusion sometimes amongst Christians about what happens to our sins. I preached here several months ago now, and that's what I entitled the message, actually, "What Happened to Our Sins?" And the Bible says He took them away. The Word of God tells us He washed them away. The Bible says He blotted them out. He cast them into a sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our sins from us. So you can't get much clearer than that. That's what He did with our sins. But a lot of times, we don't really, even though we know that up here, it doesn't really sometimes grip us in the heart and to the realization that we understand how much God has forgiven us. And there's always a danger, I guess, you know, people say, well, you know, if I'm forgiven, I can go out and live whichever way I want to. That's not the purpose of it. Matter of fact, Paul mentions that in Romans. Paul mentioned, you know, he said, "You will say then," he said, "well, why don't we just go out and sin more that grace might abound more?" And Paul said, "God forbid that you would even think that way. That's not what it's all about." But anyway, we're going to look in the Word of God here tonight. Let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into His Word. Father in heaven, we're so thankful once again for the wonderful salvation that Jesus has purchased for us. We thank You, Lord, for Your many blessings. We thank You, for Lord, for what Calvary accomplished. And Father, as we look into the Word of God tonight, we ask that You would just give us wisdom. Lord, as Your Word says, Lord, to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and that we would see these things, Father, and live accordingly. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Him, now who's He talking about when He says in Him? Jesus. In Him, we have redemption. Is that something that we will have in the future, even though we will have it in the future, but it's something that we have right now. John, over in his epistles over in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, John said, "These things we write that you may know that you have eternal life." It's something that we have right now. Eternal life doesn't mean something that's long, even though it is long. It's forever. But that's not what he's talking about when he's talking about eternal life. He's talking about the quality or the type of life. We have it right now. We have God's life within us. So he said, he was writing that they would know that they had eternal life. But here, Paul's saying, in Him, we have redemption. We already have it in Him. In Him, we have redemption through His blood. There's a lot of people that don't want to talk about the blood anymore and try to make Christianity sound like it's an awful religion because it talks about the blood. But if it wasn't for the blood, we'd have no hope whatsoever. And this is what we'll touch on a bit tonight. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Now notice what it says here, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now notice this, he said we have redemption through His blood, and he says we have the forgiveness of our sins. The forgiveness of our sins, but notice how it comes to us, according to the riches of His grace. Now we know, and we've been preaching this for the past couple years, it's got nothing to do with how good I am or you are. It's absolutely nothing. Our qualifications, our performance means nothing. Our righteousness is filthy before God. So it's absolutely nothing that we've done, but everything that we have when it comes to salvation, it's because of the riches of His grace. Okay, you need to understand it. Grace means undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. Absolutely nothing you could do to earn it. Absolutely you didn't deserve it. There's no way that you should ever receive it. But God has given it to us because it was the good pleasure of His will, as we talked about in our Bible study here a few weeks ago. It was the good pleasure of His will. So He did it through the riches of His grace. And verse 8, which He made to abound toward us. You notice that? He made this grace to abound toward us. So if you put these things together, you understand. Paul said the same thing back over in Romans. You know, through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we would reign in life. So he's talking about grace abounding. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Okay, so this is what he says right here. According to the riches of his grace, the last part of verse 7, which he made to abound toward us. Some people said, oh, you shouldn't talk so much about grace. I mean, God made it abound toward us. How can you not talk about it? How can you know what I mean? How can you not talk about something that God put so much emphasis on? He made grace to abound toward us, to overflow toward us. You know, so he's saying, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence or understanding. So notice what he's saying again, that everything we have when it comes to our salvation, it's because of God's grace, and that grace was made to abound to us, and we have redemption, we have the forgiveness of our sins. Now, the forgiveness of our sins is not something that's going to come in the future. We have it right now. We don't have time to go into all the scriptures because there's a couple of things I want to look at there, but back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible, when it talks about, a few weeks ago, a few months ago, I guess now, we talk about reconciliation, you know, the minister of reconciliation. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. When Jesus hung on the cross, God was doing it so that he could bring the world back in fellowship with him again. The world had nothing to do with it. All they did was supply the sin. God provided the grace, the means of the sacrifice and everything else. God provided everything that was needed. So God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. And the Bible says he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, a lot of times as Christians, and I'm not trying to, you know, play around with words here, but a lot of times as Christians, we've been more with a ministry of condemnation, you know, when it comes to talking to people about the Lord. You know, we go out and we see somebody that's bound with some lifestyle or bound with some habit or, you know, whatever the case might be. They've, you know, messed up their life, stuff like that. And all we've done, sometimes we go out and we start criticizing them, saying, oh, you're bound for hell and you did this wrong. And we just condemn them all the time. That's not the purpose of the gospel. The gospel is to go out and reconcile people back to God. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, not the ministry of condemnation. That was the old covenant. We're under a new covenant. The old covenant, that was the ministry. You know, and a lot of times you still get people that will preach mostly from the old covenant. Don't misunderstand. We need to preach from the Old Testament, but we need to understand what covenant that was under. We can learn from these things. We can learn how Jesus came to redeem us from all these different things, but we cannot live under the old covenant anymore. The Bible tells us over in Hebrews that the time came when the old covenant had run its course, and he said he took away the old that he may establish the new. So we're in the new covenant. You know, so we need to live in the new covenant. We need to talk about the new covenant. We need to understand the new covenant. We need to fellowship around the new covenant. We need to thank God for the new covenant. We relate to God in the new covenant. We relate to each other in the new covenant. You know, so we need to understand what the new covenant is all about. So he's saying that he's made this grace to abound toward us. He's made this grace to abound toward us. And God was there when Jesus hung on the cross. The purpose of that is because God wanted to reconcile the world back to himself. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he wanted to reconcile the world back to himself. And he gave us the ministry. Our ministry is to go out and tell the world, listen, God has already looked after everything. He's not mad at you anymore. He's not angry at you for your sin. Jesus already took the punishment for your sin. It's already been paid for. All you have to do is just accept it. I mean, that's what the ministry of reconciliation is all about. Just accept the sacrifice that's been made. You know, sin has already been dealt with. And I know we say that so many times, sometimes it just goes over our head and we don't even care about it anymore. But sin has already been dealt with, and Jesus has provided forgiveness for us. He's provided reconciliation for us. Our job is to go out and tell the world, say, listen, forgiveness is there. Just accept it. You don't have to get in beg and bawl and squall and everything else and try to kick up a fuss to try to get God to finally give in and forgive you. God has already forgiven you even before you ask. All you got to do is accept it. You know, that's the good news of the gospel. That's what the gospel is all about. That's why it's called good news. The price has already been paid. As far as God is concerned, he's not holding your sins against you anymore. That's what the Bible tells us there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's not holding our sins against us anymore. And he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation to go out and tell the world, listen, God's not mad anymore. He's not angry at you anymore. Your sins have already been paid for. God did it himself, and he just wants you to come home. He just wants you to come back to him. That's what the ministry of reconciliation is all about. Now, I want us to understand something, because we think sometimes, and don't take this the wrong way, But we think sometimes when a person gets saved, and I've heard people say this, and I probably said it myself over years, you know, if you don't really see them crying and sobbing their hearts out and, you know, having an awful experience at the altar, if you don't see that, well, then you never really got anything. You know, and I understand why people say that, because we like to see something on the outside to show what goes on the inside. But we need to understand that this is something that is between the person and God. Some people, I've seen people, and you have as well, I've seen people that have, you know, come to the altar that way and served God and been wonderful Christians. I've seen people come to the altar that way and 2 weeks after they are gone. You know, so that outward display never really meant anything. Is what took place on the inside that counts. I've seen people that come up to the altar so dry, you know, it seemed like, man, you think, well, they never received anything. And they're still serving God today after all these years. You know, so the outward appearance, sometimes we got to get beyond it. The Bible tells us, God says, he said, man looks at the outward appearance, but God is looking at the heart. God looks at the individual themselves and what they're made of and what, you know, how sincere they were before him. Now, the Bible tells us, well, I got a number of scriptures here tonight I want us to look at. Let's go back to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And we're just going to scoot through a few scriptures tonight and just, you know, follow along. Acts chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse 29. Now, Peter is speaking here. And as I said, the gospel, the message that we are to bring to the world, is that your sins have already been dealt with. That's our message. Not to go out and tell them, oh, you're a bunch of sinners. They know that. You know, you don't have to go out and try to convince them that they're sinners. They know that. You know, but the problem is, we go out and instead of telling them the good news, we continue just to heap the bad news on them. And they just run away from us. They don't want to hear anything about God. They don't want to hear anything about the church. Just stay away from it. Instead of realizing that our responsibility is go out and tell them, listen, what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago. Even before you were born, he paid for your sins. He paid for all your sins before you were born. You know, that's the good news of the gospel. Notice what it says here. Peter, this is Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be a prince and savior. And notice this, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. He said, Jesus died and God has raised him up so that he could give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Now, right here is saying to Israel, but we know over from Romans that we are grafted in. So this applies to us as well. So don't get caught up just the Israel part of it. He's talking to Jewish people. That's why he's referring to this and to the covenants and everything else that they have with God. But this is open for the whole world. We understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Okay, now, but here's the thing. Here's the good news of the gospel. Peter said to the Jewish people, he said, you fellows took him and you killed him. He said, but God has raised him up for this purpose so that he could give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus paid the price, the reason he did that is not because of anything he did himself, obviously, but he did it because now he was providing the forgiveness of sins to the Jewish people, not only to the Jewish people, but to the whole world. But he is, in this verse, he's talking about the Jewish people. But the very purpose Jesus came was to give the forgiveness of sins. Now, and he said, and we are his witnesses, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. But notice again, repentance. Now, the word repent, and a lot of times we misunderstand this, and I'm not trying to tear apart everything we've always believed or anything like that, because, you know, there's still a lot of truth in some of the things that we believe. But sometimes we think repentance is getting down and crying your heart out and being brokenhearted. And you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. If a person feels that and senses that in their spirit and that's how they respond to it, that's fine. But too long, we've just looked at that as a measuring stick of if the person got anything from God or not. And that's wrong. Because again, we're looking at the outward appearance. God is looking at the heart. I've seen people, and you have as well, that have gotten down and cried their hearts out and went through all kinds of commotion and everything else and trying to, you know, I don't even know which way to say it, trying to conjure up something to get God to forgive them. They don't understand that God is more willing to forgive than they are to receive. I mean, he paid the price even before they were even born. I mean, God wants people to receive this forgiveness. He's already forgiven them in one sense. All they have to do is accept it. It's been provided. So this is what we're to go out and preach to the world, is not get down and start bawling and squalling and start confessing all your sins and make a list of everything you've ever done in your life and all these different things. Listen, you don't need to do that. God has already laid them upon Jesus. You understand that? You don't need to go through all that. Jesus has already paid for the sins of the world. You know, he's already taken all your sins. Why do you have to start listing them again? That's not what this is about. That's not understanding what Jesus accomplished for us. Jesus completely wiped it out. If he's not keeping a record of it, I'm certainly not going to sit there and start writing in a record of it. You know how stupid that would be? God, you might not take a record, but I think I need to, like we were talking about this morning. What are you thinking about? What are you filling your mind with when you're all the time thinking about all the bad things you've done, all the sad things you've done? You know, and instead of realizing how fully you've been forgiven and cleansed with the blood of Jesus. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't do that, but the blood of Jesus, the Bible tells over in Hebrews, took our sins away forever. He perfected us forever. So we need to get an understanding of that. This is what the new covenant is all about. And sometimes when you preach this, and if you got to see, here's a good way to tell you, or tell yourself, I should say, here's a good way to figure out, am I living under the new covenant or am I living under the old covenant? Okay, here's a good measuring stick for your own benefit, okay? When you hear, well, myself now preaching it, or somebody else preaching this, and you hear somebody getting up and saying, listen, your sins have already been taken care of. You don't have to worry about anything. God isn't holding anything against you. You're on good relationship with God. God loves you. He's already taken care of everything. Before you were even born, he paid for every sin you'll ever commit. There's nothing between you and God right now. You don't have to try to, you know, as I said, bawl and squall and kick up a fuss to try to get God to accept you. If you feel on your side, there's something wrong with that, you're still living under the old covenant. You still got an old covenant mentality. Because the new covenant, he said, I'll remember your sins no more. He said, your sins and iniquity, I will remember. And he said, he's not imputing, that's the word I'm looking for, not imputing their trespasses against them anymore. To impute means to add up, make a list of it, you know, to make a ledger, so to speak, to keep a record. He said, God's not doing that anymore. You understand it? This is what we talked about this morning. What are you thinking about? You know, if you're thinking about all the time how bad I am and how much I messed up in my life and things like this, join the bunch. We've all messed up. We're all sinners except for the grace of God. You understand it? You know, we're not sinners now, but we were sinners. And, you know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd still be sinners. Now, it doesn't mean say you'll never sin, but you're not a sinner. You're a believer. You're a Christian. Sometimes you'll make a mistake, you'll sin, but you're not officially called a sinner anymore. You're called a believer. Matter of fact, the Word of God calls you a saint. We used to joke when we were going around sometimes, you know, as young fellows, and somebody do something nice, say, yes, you saint. You know, we joke with them, but, you know, that's what the Word of God tells us. We're saints. You know, anyway, some are saints and some are ain'ts, is it? But God has exalted him at the right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus died for, to provide the forgiveness of sins. Now, repentance, I've touched on it in a minute. I meant to get into a whole lot more scriptures. I'm waiting not to get through this one yet. But repentance, okay, the word repentance, all it means is just turn around, to change your mind. Okay, and we've, over the years, we've made it get down and bawl and squall and kick up a fuss and go through all kinds of, commotion and everything else, because that's repentance, we always thought. But that's not the Bible. Now, I'm not saying repentance can't take place in that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that is not repentance in itself. Repentance means to turn around, to change your mind about something, change your way of thinking. Again, goes back to what we talked about this morning. Change your way of thinking. I heard a fellow preach one time, and he said, while the Word of God is being preached, people are repenting. Repentance is taking place because people's minds are being changed. That's all repentance means. It means to change your mind, to turn around. Okay, now, so he says here, the reason Jesus died for us was to provide the opportunity for people to change their mind, turn around, and receive forgiveness. You understand? Basically, that's what he's saying here. He said that he might have repentance, which means change your mind, turn around, and forgiveness of sins. So when Jesus died, this is what God was doing. He was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He is providing an opportunity for people to turn, change their mind and turn around, come back to him again, and he'll forgive their sins. That's what the gospel is about. And instead of we gone out and we've criticized and we've made, and listen, I'm just guilty, but we've made petitions. We tried to stop this sin from coming in. We tried to stop this from happening. We tried to stop. Listen, let's just get out. You don't see Paul and Peter and them fellows going around late and say, oh my, what are we going to do? Here it is, you know, or this one's going to do something else. They just went out and kept preaching the word of God. Just plow around through the whole thing. Just keep standing for what's true. Preach the word of God. You know, you can drive yourself crazy always looking at the negatives in the world. You can drive yourself crazy always looking for sin that's in society. This is a fallen world. You'll have a never-ending job if you're all the time looking for faults in people. That's not our responsibility anymore. Jesus took all the sins and put them in one package, took them to in his body, the Bible says, on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24. Himself, in his own body, bore our sins on the tree. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, he purged our sins. He took care of sins once for all. So it's not our responsibility to go out anymore and start saying to the world, you've sinned here, you're doing this wrong, you're doing something else wrong, that's a sin. Now our responsibility is you give us a minister of reconciliation. Go out and say, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. That's our responsibility. You understand it? Okay, let's look at another verse. Let's look at Acts chapter 13. Most of this is saying the same thing, but I just wanted to drill it into our hearts and our minds until we start to understand it and believe it. And, you know, as we talk about this morning, until we get that rearranged in our thinking and we start going home in the right direction. You understand? You know, we start to understand, you know, and reprogram our way of thinking. When the devil comes in and says, oh, you did such and such, you said such and such, you've been there, and the devil is the accuser, the Bible says. He'll always accuse you, always keep you down. And the word of God tells us that he uses the law to do it. That's what the Bible says. He uses the law to condemn us. We don't have time to get into it now, but you read the book of Romans there, Romans chapter 7. Okay, so let's look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, through Jesus, okay? He said that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Is what Jesus came to provide was the forgiveness of sins. Our responsibility is going to the world. Listen, there's forgiveness of sins already there. All you have to do is just pick it up. You don't have to go through and make up a list of sins. You don't have to come to God and you know, be afraid to come into his presence because you've messed up so bad and you don't know if God's going to forgive you. It's already been forgiven. It's already been paid for. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Just come and receive it. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what reconciliation is all about. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And our responsibility is going to say, listen, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. So he says here, therefore, let it be known unto you, brethren, that through this man, through Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified. Man, that's pretty clear. Through him, everyone who believes is justified. From all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now you got that? He said, through him is preached the forgiveness of sins, and everyone who believes in him is justified from all the things that they could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Okay, the law of Moses could never wash away your sins. The law of Moses could never provide righteousness. All it did is showed you what righteousness was. And you kept jumping and trying to reach it, and you could never reach it. Jesus came along and says, listen, here, take my righteousness. Did I help you reach it? You understand? So he says, well, let's read those verses again. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man. Now, you got to understand here, they're talking to people that were involved You know, in the crucifixion of Jesus that lived at that time period and all these different things, to them, you know, Jesus, a lot of them just thought he was just another man, he was an imposter and all these different things. But here they're saying, we want you to understand and know that through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins. There's no way, remember Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. There's no other name under heaven, the Bible says, given among men whereby men must be saved. There's no other way except through Jesus. So here he says, by this man is preached, not by you know, some other world religion, not by some other world religious founder of some kind. By this man, Jesus, is preached the forgiveness of sins. It's the only way to have your sins forgiven is through Jesus. By this man is preached the forgiveness of sins, and by him, everyone who believes is justified from all the things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Okay, let's move on to another verse. Acts chapter 26. Paul's before King Agrippa. Paul was in prison. And they brought him out to give him, you know, give him a chance to answer for himself. So Paul gave his testimony how he got saved. And in his testimony, he said what Jesus said to him. He told the king and those that were around him, he told them what Jesus said to him when he had that vision and saw Jesus and when Jesus was telling him what to do. So this is what he says. Well, I don't want to read the whole thing, but he's talking about when he fell to the ground and you know, he heard this voice saying to him. And Paul said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus. But notice what Jesus said to him. In verse 17, he said, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. He said, I send you to open their eyes in order to turn them, now notice this, to turn them from darkness to light. Now you get to understand that the Bible talks about that those that dwelt in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, he said, those that dwelt in the land of darkness, a great light is shone, which is in the area of Galilee, a great light is shone. John the Baptist said, in him, in Jesus, he's the light of the world. Jesus himself said, you know, the light of the world. Now, he said, Jesus said, he said, Paul, he said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles, he said, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins. See, he never said they had to get down and confess their sins and go through all kinds of trouble. He said that they might receive the forgiveness of sins. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. He said that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Then Jesus was speaking. He said, Paul, he said, I want you to go out and start preaching. He said, turn people from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. He said, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins, because he's already provided the forgiveness of sins. So this is, again, what the gospel is about. That they might receive the forgiveness of sins. Go over to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Remember what Jesus said? To deliver them from darkness to light. He said he's delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son. Verse 14, Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Same thing he said back there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom, back there said in him, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. Our sins are forgiven, washed away because of the blood of Jesus. Now, just a few more verses, and I'm going to scoot through those a little faster. Let's go back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, Paul's writing to the church that was in Rome at that time. And here in chapter 3, Paul says in verse 20, well, let's look at verse 21, then we go down through three or four verses there. He said, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law. Okay, there's a righteousness of God that comes apart from the law. In other words, without living by the law. He said, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because of his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Now, this is the New King James, but the older King James, propitiation through his blood, the remission of sins. Anybody see that there in the regular King James? The remission of sins. Now, remission means to have your sins canceled. Okay? Is very close to forgiveness, and a lot of times it's interchangeable, but it means to have your sins canceled out. So when Jesus hung on the cross, this is before you were born now, this is before you even committed your sins, he already canceled them out. You understand? There's remission in the blood of Jesus. There's remission for your sins. Now, when we talk about remission in the medical, terminology this day and age, somebody say cancer's gone into remission or something like that, it means just that it's die down for a while. There's a possibility it's going to come back again. But that's not what this word here is talking about. It's talking about your sins have been totally paid for, totally canceled out. Remember, you get a bill sometimes, they say, please remit. You got $100 owing on a phone bill. Please remit. You make that remission, the bill's gone. You understand it? When you make that remission, when you remit the payment, I should say, or whichever we want to term it, but when remission is made, the bill is canceled. And this is what he's talking about here. The remission of your sins. Your sins have been canceled by the blood of Jesus even before you committed them. Now you understand that? Even before you committed them, Jesus already paid the price to have them remitted. But you have to accept it. You have to accept it. That's the only hook into this. Is the only thing that we have to do is believe. He said, if we believe, he said, we have all of our sins forgiven. Things that couldn't be done under the law of Moses, we can have it now in Christ by believing. So those verses there, verse 25 again, remission of sins. Well, there's a couple more things I was going to look at, but I want to go to another verse. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. This is Jesus, when he was having communion that night with his disciples, the Lord's Supper. This is what he said. He said, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus was saying to his disciples, they didn't understand fully what was going on. He said, but listen, he said, here's the bread. He said, it represents my body. Here's the blood, the grape juice. He said, the juice, the wine. He said, it represents my blood. It's going to be shed for the remission, the cancellation of the sins of many. That cancellation has already taken place. We have to just accept it as all. That's what reconciliation, that's the minister of reconciliation. Go out and tell him, listen, God's not mad anymore. God's not holding a thing against you. He wants you to come. He's already paid the price. He's made it open for you to receive. All you have to do is just come and say, Lord, I repent of my sin. In other words, I turn from my sin and I receive your forgiveness. That's all salvation is. And the minute that we do that, the minute that we turn to him, we believe that Jesus died for our sins, God raised him from the dead. When we understand that, and what he's meaning there, when we understand that he's the true Messiah, he's the true Savior, when we turn our lives over to him, our sins are canceled, remitted, taken away. Okay, so the remission of sins. Now, Luke 1:77. Now, this is talking about John the Baptist. Luke 1:77. Talking about John the Baptist, what he was going to do. And he was to be a forerunner of Jesus. He was going to tell the people that the Messiah was coming. And the reason he was coming was to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. John the Baptist was to tell them that Jesus is coming, and to give them knowledge of salvation through to remission after sins. That's how you receive salvation, is have your sins canceled. Okay? This is why, like I said, and you get to understand, you know, when I say this, I'm not just saying it to try to, you know, but when people are saying, oh, write down every sin you've ever committed, anything you can think of in the past, you know, all your life, write it down on a piece of paper, write it down on a dozen sheets of paper if you need to. Just, man, I'd need a book. And I've been a nice fellow. You know? But you know what I mean? Why do that when the sins have already been canceled? They're not held against us anymore. Why bring them up anymore? Does that make sense to anybody? You know, change your way of thinking. That's what the repentance means. To repent, change your way of thinking, realize that your sins have been canceled, just accept it and say, Lord, I thank you for that. I received that. That's what, you know, this is all about, the remission of sins, the cancellation of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins. We're in the book of Luke. Just go over to the last chapter of book of Luke. That was the first chapter. Go over to the last chapter. Luke 24. We'll finish up in 3 or 4 minutes. Well, 5 minutes anyway. Jesus speaking to his disciples just when he was being ascended back into heaven. Verse 46, let's look at that. He said, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins. This is what we are to go out and preach to the world. Repentance, turn around, change your mind, get a different mindset, reprogram your mind, whatever. Start thinking differently. God's not against you anymore. God's not angry at you anymore. God was in Christ reconciling you to himself. The price has already been paid. Change your mind. He said that this is what we're to do. He said that Christ would suffer, rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's our responsibility tonight, is to go out and tell the world. And when he's saying preach, he's not talking about preaching like I'm doing now. He's talking about just go out and tell people, listen, you don't need a degree in theology or anything else to tell people God already forgave you before you were born. He just wants you to come and pick up the ticket. Price has already been paid. Flight is waiting for you. Everything's ready to go. Just come and pick up the ticket. It's already been paid for. God's not mad at you. He's on good terms with you. He's longing for you. Matter of fact, he's in a good mood. He wants you to come and, you know, and be reconciled. But yet people are saying, you know, oh no, you know, everybody's afraid to come to God. And the media and the world and everything else is frightening people off, and you think that, you know. Remember we talked about one time before in the New Testament, the things that Jesus was doing, they were giving credit to the devil. And the things the devil was doing, they were giving credit to God. And we're living in the same kind of society. You talk about something good now, we're the bad people. You talk about something as evil, society accepts you. We're just exactly like it was back there. But this is what our responsibility is, to preach repentance and remission of sins. He said it should be preached in his name to all the nations. Two more verses and we'll finish up with that. And everybody said amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter understood even on the day of Pentecost that it was the remission of sins that had to be preached. Is you will receive the remission of your sins, the cancellation of your sins. If you repent, if you turn around, you'll receive the cancellation of your sins. When you come back to God, you receive the cancellation of your sins. And Acts chapter 10, verse 43, and we'll finish up with that. Now this is Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile. We talk about the Jewish people. This is a Gentile. We talk about the Jewish people. Yeah, this is a Gentile now. And Cornelius had sent for Peter to come down and tell him about this new way that was going on, Christianity and people getting saved and all these different things. Cornelius was a Jew, was a Gentile. He was a God-fearing man, but not understanding. God knew his heart, and God said, send him to Joppa, get Peter to come up. Peter came up, and God said, he'll tell you what to do. So Peter came up and went into his house. Now you got to understand, this is, you know, I think it was about 12 years after Pentecost, after the day of Pentecost. The Jewish leaders of the church, the disciples, were still having a hard time to accept that God wanted to save Gentiles too. And remember, God had showed Peter the sheet of the unclean animals. And Peter said, "I can't go to that." He said, "That's unclean." God said, "Don't you dare call it unclean anymore." God was showing him, "You've been calling the Gentiles unclean. It's time to stop that, Peter. Change your mind. Get a different mindset." Okay. And the minute Peter changed his mind, he opened up the door of salvation to the Gentile people. Now, notice what happened there. So Peter came down. Anyway, let me give you a little background there. Peter came down, knocked on the door or whatever, and Cornelius came out, and first thing Peter said to him, see, Peter still had his mind under the law. Peter said, "You know, it's not lawful for me to come to your house. You're a Gentile. I'm a Jew." I mean, this is years later, and Peter was still bound by what the law said. You understand it? It's so hard sometimes just let go of things of the past. But anyway, but Peter said, "God showed me," said, "that he's no respecter of persons." You know, when he saw the sheet coming down, different things, God showed him what you considered unclean from now on. He said, "Stop talking like that." We need to think the same thing. When we see people that are unclean, as far as we're concerned, because we would never do that, we would never live that lifestyle, we would never be there, we would never go there, God said, "Stop talking like that. Get a different mindset. The gospel is for everyone." Okay? Forgiveness of sins, the remission of sins. Now, anyway, while Peter was still speaking, well, let me see. I'll back up further than that. So Peter started talking to him, and he talked about how Jesus, God, in verse 40, God raised from the dead on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to the witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Now Peter is saying this to the Jewish Cornelius, to the Gentile rather, Cornelius, Roman centurion. And then he says, and he commanded us. And this is what Peter is saying. He said, Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was ordained by God to judge, to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of their sins. You understand that? This is why we're in on it today. We're Gentiles, you know. But he said, whoever believes on Jesus can receive the remission of sins. The remission of sins has already been provided for. It's already paid for. All you got to do, as I said, is just go and pick up the ticket. You're just go and pick it up. It's already been looked after. All you know, sometimes you go on a flight and different things. You know, we go to Bulgaria, Pastor Weller and them. Normally we send the money to them. This year is a little different, but normally we send the money to them, and you know, we go, and when we show up at the airport, here's your ticket. Everything is paid for. You got your passport numbers on there. All this, you go up, you just scan it, and everything's all done. Everything's looked after. Well, that's what Jesus has done for us. He's got everything already provided for us. Redemption is already there. The forgiveness of sins, the cancellation of your sins has already been looked after. All you got to do is accept the ticket. Accept it. And that's the good news that we need to get out to the world. Not go out and tell them and beat them over the head and try to tell them how bad they are and how much they've sinned and how hateful they are in God's sight and how miserable they are. And, you know, that's the devil's job. You know, he's the accuser. Our responsibility is to go out and tell them, listen, God has already provided reconciliation. He's already provided the cancellation for your sins. Your sins have been paid for. Forgiveness is available. All you need to do is accept it. And if we start going out and start telling people that and start to explain to them, God is not holding a thing against you. God loves you. God's got a good purpose for you, good life for you. God wants you blessed. And if we start going out in that, I think we'll have better success than going out and beating them over the head all the time with the Bible and saying, oh, you've missed it here, you've missed it there. That's the work of the law. That's the work of the law. Our job, the Bible says, he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to go out and show them the love and the grace and the mercy of God. We read it three or four times here, that we've received this redemption through the abundance of God's grace, this forgiveness of our sins through the abundance of God's grace, through what Jesus did on Calvary when he shed his blood. So let's make sure that we understand what we're doing. This ministry of reconciliation is to tell the people how much God loves them. Jesus never came, you know, criticizing the people and judging everybody else. Jesus came talking about how God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. That's our job. That's our job, the ministry of reconciliation.